Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Good evening. It is Access All Areas live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Josh Rom. Thank you so much for having me once again.
I love having you. Thank you for being my guest co-host this evening.
My absolute pleasure. It's one of those, I have to sigh, because showbiz, we've had, I think, quite frankly, it's been the story of the decade that has just rumbled on over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I wonder what story this could be.
Bobby, are you okay? I hope so.
I'm okay, babes. Are you okay?
Shaken, troubled, let down.
Before we get into all the tea, and that's what we're here for, let's have it right.
I've just got to say,
obviously, we are, as always, we've got a jam-packed show, and we'll be discussing, obviously, showbiz news, because it's our bread and butter. We love a bit of showbiz goss. Plus, we are joined by two amazing guests. We'll be speaking to The Only Way Is Essex, Chloe Ross, and we have got Married at First Sight, Amy Christophers. But Josh, obviously, you've just touched upon it. What's caught your eye in the press? I don't know.
Well, there is one story that has been all over the press today, and that is, of course, the CEO of ITV, Carolyn McCall, appearing in front of the Digital Culture, Media and Sport Committee earlier today, which, very interesting. One of my interesting findings was apparently any sort of runner can apparently ask to make a, for ITV to make them a showreel, apparently. Apparently that option is available to every runner, which is like so surprising. One contact actually today sent me a message on WhatsApp with, like, you know, the furious typing gif.
GIF.
I still don't even know, but
GIF. Cleaning product, I think.
You're right.
Oh no, it's SIF now.
Yes, it is.
Another story.
Other brands are available. But and one contact sent me the furiously typing GIF. GIF being like everybody contacting the head of all the runners, contacting the head of daytime, asking for a showreel. I mean, it's absolute madness what's going on.
So what has gone down today? Because obviously we all know the story. It's like the story that's not going away.
It's not going away.
It's potentially the showbiz story of the year.
Of the decade.
But as you say, now it's gone up a notch.
And the thing is, we've had the appearance in front of the Committee of MPs. We've now got the external review coming up. And I think all eyes are going to be on that, because what I think we actually have to realise is, yes, there is this scandalous story with an affair, a consensual work affair with Philip Schofield. But the story's bigger than that. It's bigger than a bit of gossip. I think we have to look at ITV as a wider body. And I think questions are going to be raised, not just about what they knew, but a case of, you know, the lengths that they allegedly or potentially might have gone to cover up bad behaviour. And I think people are now, and now definitely people are starting to look at this, not just from a this morning or even a daytime point of view, but all over the place. Like, I think it's going to be, there are going to be a lot of questions raised about the wider showbiz industry. And, you know, we've had this with Rebecca Ferguson, we've had this with Katie Wasel, and, you know, Rebecca Ferguson coming out on Twitter basically saying, you know, I'm bound by NDAs for life. You know, I was forced to sign for a management company. Otherwise, they threatened to kick me off the show. I had a show accountant. Again, this was not my choice. I had this forced upon me. Otherwise, they threatened to kick me off the show. And there's just so much wild stuff about what happened, not just at ITV daytime and not just with Philip Schofield, but unfortunately, you know, the floodgates have now been opened. There's got to be wider questions about bad behaviour all across the television industry.
Because like you've touched upon, Rebecca Ferguson has now spoken out, and she's accused ITV of bullying and brainwashing.
Yeah.
So what more do we know about that? So this is, like you say, this has now gone beyond daytime. This is no longer just a this morning problem.
And it's not. And the thing is, I think this has the potential to even go beyond ITV. I think this is the question, because now ITV are basically today. This was touched upon in the panel, and they basically say, well, you know, we contracted X Factor to Thames Television, to Fremantle Television. You know, they're the ones that are responsible for the X Factor. We just commission it. So now I think, you know, there are going to be questions asked about independent production companies and how they make their programs, and then also the wider responsibilities of the broadcasters. And then, you know, there's obviously all this emphasis on duty of care, and especially under Carolyn McCall's watch. Again, I'm so sorry I'm talking so quickly, because much to go through. But, you know,
it's passion.
But you know, under Carolyn McCall's watch, you know, we've had the terrible suicide of the contestant contributor,
multiple.
Steve Diamond on the Jeremy Kyle show. We've had multiple suicides that have come out of Love Island. You know, I think the TV, as we know it, I think is edging towards almost a day of reckoning.
So do you think the fact Rebecca Ferguson's now spoke out, because I think there was kind of rumours, or everyone was edging their bets, weren't they, after everything the last few weeks with the whole scandal and the press and the story, and then where the channel's now been under the headline.
Yeah,
absolutely. Do you think now Rebecca Ferguson spoke out, are we going to see a lot of ITV talent now coming forward?
Well, it depends on whether ITV talent are released from their non-disclosure agreements, because if they are released from their non-disclosure agreements, which is what Rebecca Ferguson has called for, and Katie Wasell as well, she actually said she's not under a non-disclosure agreement, so therefore I can speak out for you and I support you. But I think there are probably many more people aside from Rebecca Ferguson that are still under non-disclosure agreements and are probably scared to talk out. And I think if ITV do release them from their obligations, then I think there is the potential for a whole wave of accusations to come out about potential ITV institutional cover-ups of bad behaviour.
And depending how this goes, this whole situation that's happening now in terms of like Parliament and the government, can they override NDAs and say, look, if people want to come forward, we're going to override NDAs? Have they got that power?
I don't think they have the power. I think there is a power when it comes to any illegal behaviour. Mm-hmm. NDAs, I don't think, could cover legal behaviours anymore. I don't think. I need to actually look into that legislation more. Actually, you've reminded me of something that I've got to do. But I don't think they have that power as of yet. It's up to ITV and any of their partners to be able to say, OK, we're going to release everybody of their non-disclosure agreements. I think ITV are going to be hoping that the external review into this morning will either not find much at all, or will find some bits, so they can then have a full guy, so they can then say, we're reformed, we're listening, we're learning from this, you know, we're addressing these accusations of a toxic culture, you know, and we're going to learn from this. And I think they're hoping that this might be swept under the carpet after the external review. But this external review could also have the opposite effect, where it opens a whole floodgate of more accusations, more reporting. It's safe to say I'm going to be busy
You're going to be a busy boy. And like I say, we know a few weeks ago, people on social was calling for This Morning to end. And do you think now it's got to where it's got to? And as you touched upon at the top of the show, This is a bigger thing than just daytime now, where this is looking like it's potentially heading, allegedly. Do you think the show will get axed, or is that a drop in the ocean now?
I think it's still too early to say. I think it's like, you know, at the time when all of this was kicking off, of course, there are always going to be the questions, and of course, there's going to be the massive, massive reporting. But all ITV had to do was just hang on in there. Don't say much. Just keep the ship afloat, so to speak. And I think they've done that for the time being. You know, Holly has made her return to This Morning. She's addressed the nation with her statement. You know, who knows what we all think of that statement. But aside from that, you know, she said what she wanted to say. She said what she had to say. You know, she's now presenting the show. The show is going full steam ahead for the time being. It all depends on this external review from this Casey, from this external barrister, and what they find. I do think in general, even if This Morning isn't axed as This Morning, I do think actually watching this, it is in desperate need of a
You think it'll have a rebrand?
Not necessarily a rebrand, but definitely a brand refresh. I think, you know, the studio now has been tainted with that look. You know, everyone's going to look at that studio and just think of Philip on that blue sofa, you know. Yeah. And everyone's going to see Holly in that same set and think of what has been for the past decade. So
yeah, well, for 14 years they worked together.
Exactly. And Phil's been on that show for way over a decade. But, you know, I think what ITV want to prove is that the show is bigger than any particular broadcaster, which is why I think they were so vehement of the show, you know, hanging on in there. I think it depends on if Martin Frizzell, the editor of This Morning, hangs on to his job, and that depends on what they find in the external review. I think his statement on television about aubergines kind of said it all. It's a case of, oh, what's toxic? Oh, I don't like aubergines. But anyway, here's what's coming up in the show. And actually, I think people have called him arrogant for that. I think that's almost genius level, because it almost, yeah, like, it got people talking. And it was like, okay, but he still kind of promoted the show. I mean, maybe he shouldn't have said aubergines, but...
Because, you know, everyone thinks emoji.
Exactly, but I think that's very true.
Was that a clever move to kind of throw that, or was that a bad emoji reference?
I think it could have been either. I think it's both a good move and a bad move. Yeah. But I think it just depends on what the external review finds. And if he can hold on to the job, then you know, I think then they can start making decisions about the longevity of the show. And then if he doesn't hold on to the job, I still think the show will continue, but it won't continue in the same form. And it also depends on what the external review actually finds about Holly.
So what's the word on Fleet Street at the minute? Obviously, all alleged, we don't know what's going to happen, but what are your colleagues, what are journalists saying? I mean, How are you predicting this review and the inquiry is going to go?
We can't call it, because the thing is, it's almost like politics. You can say one thing, okay, for certainly this is going to happen, and then there's another event that just comes across that knocks the whole trajectory on its head. So I think I think either this or this is going to happen. I think either Martin Frizzell could go. I think Emma Gormley, the head of Daytime, could go. I think the director of television, Kevin Ligo, could go. Martin Frizzell.
Do you think we will see some big names go at the channel?
I think we'll probably see at least one. At least one. I think Martin Frizzell is in a very precarious position at the moment. Because there are allegations, and I will say, you know, I've been reporting myself on a lot of these allegations. You know, I had a big expose for the Daily Star about, you know, Phil's behavior on set, but also Holly's behavior on set.
Was Holly's behavior?
Well, just kind of cold, distant, staying in the dressing room, not talking to the models. You know, one model told me that Holly used to look at her up and down, almost judgmentally, and it was like they wanted you there but they didn't want you there, and there was just, it was so cold and distant. And the amount of people that have looked at my story, former staffers that didn't speak to me before my story, but then have spoken to me afterwards going, oh my God, yes, that's correct. Yes, that's correct. Yes, that's correct.
I think the one thing we know, Mr. Josh Rom, is that this story isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
No.
And I'm sure we'll be talking about this for a long time to come. Who knows where it's going to go? Like you say, no one can call it, but got to touch upon just another little bit of show.
It's going to be interesting though.
Yeah, I think it's
going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's a strange one,
yeah,
isn't it? Because it's something that I don't think we've seen for a very long time, especially from a channel such as ITV. It's, there's nothing like it this year. And like you say, potentially even the decade. But showbiz-wise, have you heard about Disney accidentally hiring a porn star as one of the mermen on The Little Mermaid? Can you make this up?
This is so funny. So there's a 24-year-old called Stefano Tomadini, who was kind of hired to play a kind of just a standard merman. He didn't necessarily have a huge role in the film, but appeared in the background and then took to social media to post behind the scenes pictures and whatever. But it turns out he's appeared in 3 porn videos under the pseudonym Dante Ferrari, for which he was paid between £800 and £1,000 each. A film source has spoken to The Sun about his cheeky past, saying that casting bosses decided to hire a number of really sexy male models just to play merman in the movie, not thinking of it, just sexy male models.
Yeah, just a few,
but Disney had absolutely no idea about his racy videos. And given the kind of the fact that The Little Mermaid is very much aimed at kids and very young teenagers.
Disney in general is a very kid brand, isn't it?
The word is family friendly. Disney has always been a very family friendly brand, and this is very much a brand that is very meticulous over its image.
Yeah.
And especially a film like The Little Mermaid, where you're going to have loads of young girls watching this, looking up at Halle Bailey, who, by the way, I must say, is absolutely incredible.
I've not seen the film, but obviously I remember the original, as in the cartoon.
Of course.
And was all, I mean, I was a Disney boy, and that's no shock.
Amen to that. I agree.
My favourite.
This is a, if we're going to be under confessionals, I'll make a confession. When my mum first took me on a family trip to Disneyland in California, I was about probably five, six years old, and when Belle came out, I cried, apparently, because I was overcome with emotion.
Back in the
just
day when you'd get autographs. I guess they all do selfies,
but I remember having autographs. But also, do you remember the disposable cameras that used to get the photos
and
processed?
And you used to go to the chemist for $1.99 and get your 28 photos, and 27 were shit.
And you used to go to like a Photoshop as well and get them all processed. I still had my picture with Belle.
But Little Mermaid was my favourite. And I think it was because I fancied Eric. Eric was my prince of choice. Out of all the Disney princes, Eric was going to be my husband.
Did you not like a bit of a bad boy like Gaston? Because I can imagine
Eric. So I wanted to be Ariel. I thought I'd be a mermaid one day, but
get the hair extensions out, Bob.
live my mermaid
the red hair extensions. You can find a Halloween outfit or whatever.
Ironically, I don't really like the sea though, because I don't know what's under the water. If it was Flounder and Sebastian, I'd be living my
best
life.
But can I just say, I think what this new film has done to Flounder and Sebastian is absolutely criminal.
What have they done? I mean,
They've minimised Flounder's role. And I know Sebastian is always meant to be a crab in the original.
He ain't a crab now.
No. They've made him a crab. But the point is they've made him look too much of a crab. And it's just got little eyes. And it's a really freaky looking Sebastian. And that's the problem, I think, with live action remakes, especially, you know.
I don't know how I feel about it, if I'm honest.
The thing is, because you saw this with The Lion King, and The Lion King was literally a shot for shot remake of the original film. They look spectacular. They are spectacular productions, and, you know, they have the potential to make huge stars, like Halle Bailey, her performance in this.
Incredible.
Unbelievable. I do think a drag queen should have played Ursula, but Melissa McCarthy, I also think in this, was absolutely amazing. Javier Bardem.
Who plays Eric? Is he a salt?
Does
he do Eric justice?
Watch the movie and you guys can make up your own mind. I always say go to the cinema. But I do just think, unfortunately, you don't get that cartoonish expressions from these characters. So therefore, I think these stories almost lose part of that heart, because you're not getting that kind of over exaggeration that you would from a cartoon film.
So has,
I think it's a shame.
The actor / porn star, no shade, has he come forward and spoke out about this? Has he held his hands up?
I don't think so just yet. I think, listen, the past speak for themselves. But also, remember,
a Disney crying.
A lot of porn stars go into porn at the beginning to try and get into entertainment.
If the casting directors are looking for, quote, really sexy male models,
what better than a porn star?
Because I'm guessing they're thinking he's going to have a little tail on. I'm guessing that's a little bit of CGI on the bottom. But I probably want the top half to look like quote, really sexy male model.
And the thing is, this isn't a main character, remember. This is somebody in the background. So they probably, even if he did have a bad character, I mean, this is just one of those stories which is like a, oh, we did that. We weren't paying attention. Uh-oh. But it's not like, in the grand scheme of things...
I wonder how many clicks porn nubs get in at the minute search. I'm guessing other porn sites are available, but but I guess this is going to put him on the map. For such a small role...
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he was the one who put the story out there. It wouldn't. I'm not saying that he did, because I don't know. The story wasn't written by me, but it wouldn't surprise me.
And it wouldn't surprise me if he's a porn star if his role wasn't that small, if you know what I mean.
His role in this was tiny, but I don't know what else you're referring to.
I couldn't possibly comment. So guys, coming up after this quick break, we're going to be speaking to the lovely Chloe Ross from The Only Way Is Essex. We're going to have a little bit of now. You know, Bobby on the Street, we're here for it. I always give you a little teaser. It's only like a minute's worth of content, but then you've got to follow us. So our brand new Instagram account is at AAAFUBAR. Follow it every Friday. My Bobby on the Street goes out and you do not want to miss it. Here is a little taster.
One of my best friends is gay as well, and we're going to Mexico in a week, and we're just going to go mad for... have all the parties over there.
I don't know, I live around here. Last year was awful. So I maybe a few drinks, but I can't remember the last time I did a Pride.
Actually, when I go back home to Colorado, yes, because it's Pride Month there in Boulder.
We don't have a Pride in Malaysia, no, because it is a criminalizing country. So we do it, you know, in private, quiet places, yeah.
I've got I know a lot of people in like the LGBTQ plus community, and I think we're going to go around there for a barbecue, so that'd be nice.
Yeah, in Canada, yeah. It's like a really nice time because everyone just kind of is in a good mood and comes together.
Last year, the atmosphere wasn't the best, so we'll see what happens.
So you've got to play it by ear.
Yes. I think most people are around here anyway.
Absolutely love beating the streets of London. So obviously, as you can tell from listening to that little clip from Bobby on the Street, I wanted to know, as it's Pride Month, how and will you be celebrating Pride? Well, obviously, it's like that Pride is in the air. I feel like it goes from June. I think London's the first weekend of July. So this goes on to August. So summer to me means Pride. Will you be celebrating Pride?
I mean, I just love watching all the celebrations that happen worldwide. You know, I love seeing what goes on in America. I love, actually, I've saw that Tel Aviv had their huge... Yes. Pride parade, I think it was last week.
And I've never been, but it looks incredible. I'd love to go there.
Like, I just, the inclusivity of it, seeing all sorts of people, gay, straight, bi, drag queens, the lot, all different genders and races. It just, like, the beautiful thing about Pride is it has this historical meaning and it has a serious undertone.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's one of those, they say, oh, it's a protest, but it's just one big party.
It never really feels like a protest to me. I feel like it's a celebration.
I think it started off as a protest.
It has evolved. And I think the beautiful thing about, especially doing Bobby on the Street, is where I go out in central London, all different parts of London, speaking to people about Pride and it being Pride Month and Pride season, people from all over the world, I'm hearing about, who are here on holiday or they're here for work for a couple of months, hearing about their prides.
Mm.
And it just makes you realise that I love that we're at a stage now. Obviously, we've got a very long way to go to be where we should be in full equality, but we've definitely come forward a lot. But when you hear about like everyone's version of it and what they do and how different it is, but ultimately, wherever you are from in the world, it is just celebrating love, and love is love. And how can you hate?
Love wins. Love wins.
How can you hate on love? That to me still is what blows my mind when it comes to homophobia, transphobia, and everything that falls under that category, really.
And that's why I think it's always so amazing to see all the allies and to see us allies, you know, out in force, you know, supporting all of our friends and all of our colleagues. And you know, because no movement, for a movement to make a difference, you need people outside of the movement to recognize it, to also be a part of it in their own way. And you know, when I say about what I love about Pride is the absolutely inclusivity of it, you know, I think that's what makes it so special, is because there is, this is not something that you know, is specific to, you know, LGBTQ people. It's also inclusive to others outside of the community to come on in and support. And, you know, and the LGBTQ plus movement welcomes everybody into that as well as this huge celebration. And that's what I think makes it so special. But just on another note, I just want to appreciate how amazing Bobby on the Street is. Every time I see it on the new Instagram account, I live for it. I love it. I said this before the show, you need to have this on ITV, you know, for everyone out there. You guys will probably not have seen this, but back in the day, was it the ITV Palooza? I think it was was it 2018 or 2019? But it was definitely mid Brexit. And I was asking...
It was pre-COVID, for sure.
Definitely pre-COVID. And I was going around asking all the big names. What would you do if you were sat in front of the Brexit negotiation table? And just the reactions that I got just were hilarious. And Bobby on the Street almost reminds me of that. And I would love to see you like doing your kind of like, you know, the chats. And actually at the time you gave me the most hilarious answer because you were like, Brexit, will that affect the avocados? Like, do you know what I mean? I just think all of that stuff is just so brilliant.
See, I absolutely, you know me so well now. You know me for years. It's so up my street.
I know.
I absolutely love doing it.
It needs to happen.
It's going to happen, guys. And if you want the full content every single week, we always give you a little snippet on the show. We give you a little teaser. We just give you a little nudge. But you've got to follow us at AAAFUBAR on Instagram every Friday afternoon. The full Bobby on the Street goes out. But on that note, Mr. Joshua, we are going to take a little break. And then after the break, we'll be joined by the lovely Chloe Ross.
Ooh, exciting.
See you soon, guys.
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
We have got the lovely Thomas Hartley from Married at First Sight UK joining us on Zoom. Thomas, any advice? Out of the three of us, you're the only one that's been married. Any marital advice for me and Stephen? Because we're still looking for Mr. Right.
Make sure they're really, really fit and really, really quiet. And a really, really well in town.
Okay, so right. No chat, big Corey, and...
Joey Page!
It's time to welcome into the studio, the darkness. Do you have a favourite Easter egg, if someone was to buy you an Easter egg?
If I was the CEO of Cadbury's, I would make 1 out of 1,000 Cadbury's Easter eggs. Cadbury's cream one, completely full.
Like, and put a spoon in with it.
Yeah, like the gold.
So you could crack it like an actual...
Or you could have like a tap.
At the bottom.
Yeah, like on a beer barrel.
It'd be lovely if they had soldiers in the middle. You know, little toast soldiers in the middle of the Easter egg.
So Frankie, you said like a real egg, like an ostrich egg with some toast on the side.
Some toast in the middle.
Well, there you go. I'll get in touch with Cadbury's and see if we can get you a deal.
Politics Uncensored.
We have a wonderful guest, Clive Lewis MP, Labour MP for Norwich South, talking about this Onward report that is finding that as people are getting older, they are not becoming more conservative, as had been the case with previous generations. What's your initial reaction to that?
It doesn't come as a complete surprise and a complete shock. Where they end up, though, I think is probably as interesting. And I think with the fragmentation of kind of centre and left parties across Western democracy, but particularly here in the UK with our first past the post system, that means that the Conservatives will still continue to get in more often than not, even with a declining share of the vote.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Oh, so guys, I've literally just heard in my ear that unfortunately Chloe Ross is not able to make the show this evening. I'm gutted. It was nice to have the thought of catching up with her. It's been a little while, but obviously she appeared with me back in the day on The Only Way Is Essex.
2019, 24th series, but she left just after one.
Gosh, I forgot she only done one.
Yeah, she only did one series.
Yeah, but I saw a lot of people come and go. over my 10 years, over my decades.
I think the way you put that is just absolutely hilarious. Like, yeah, I've seen a lot of people come and go. Well, you could say that again.
There's been a few over the years, isn't there? Especially the 10 years I was there.
I mean, what a 10 years you were there. I mean, just kind of on reflection. Sorry, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
Like, you know, just I'm not sure if you've ever like reflected on it properly. Like, what was your high point of the series? And then what was your low point? And you're not allowed to say the we spoke last time I was here about the moment on Fashion Police.
Oh, the swimwear.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
you're not allowed to say that.
We won't talk about
the schlong. What was your high point and low point?
Do you know what? I'd say the high point was when the show started, there really was nothing like Towie. It was kind of the infancy of reality TV.
Mm.
Instagram didn't exist, or it was just starting.
Again,
Instagram
was in its infancy, for sure.
Yeah, so no one was trying to become a celebrity. No one was trying to become an influencer. No one wanted a blue tick. No one wanted followers. It was reality TV when it was kind of really was real. Do you know what I mean? No one was self-editing. And I think as years have gone on, not just on Towie, on reality TV in general, I think when people have become fans of show and they join shows and they've loved it and they've been fans of it for years, they kind of join with, I don't know if the words are game plan, but they kind of know how they want to play it. That there's more to gain from it. But in the early days, right, None of us had that intention.
So I'm just going to put this out there, and feel free to agree with me, feel free to disagree with me. In a recent article I actually wrote about Britain's Got Talent for The Sun,
mm-hmm.
I kind of put across this concept called reality lag or reality fatigue. And the elements that you see with reality fatigue are when a format becomes stale, after its peak, and when it's watched, you know, it goes into overdrive. So then eventually the format becomes stale, the production becomes formulaic, where we start seeing the same things over and over and over again, but they lose, as you say, reality TV was real. And it starts to seem very much more manufactured. And then you have contestants, or in this case, people that come into the series for all the wrong reasons. So for Love Island, like I describe, I say this, I don't think any of them are actually genuinely looking for love. I describe Love Island as more of today's influencer boot camp. You might as well call it Influencer Island. And if they find love, it's a bonus.
Yeah.
But I think Towie is the classic example of this. And I'm just going to say this, Bobby, I just think it's gone so downhill. Classic reality lag. The format's become tired. None of the drama actually seems real. It all seems concocted between the cast members themselves, just looking for screen time, looking for those storylines. You don't see any of the proper reality anymore. I'm going to be honest, and no offense to Chloe, you know, who in it is a star anymore? Who's actually interesting? Who do we actually care about? It's just full of quite a few wannabes, and I'm so sorry because my brother actually represents a couple of them. So again, I apologize, but like, you know,
you're only speaking the truth. You don't have to apologize.
Like, but what do you think, Bobby? Because you were in the show when it was in its prime. You were You were in the golden years of Towie. You know,
Classic Towie. You
were there when you know, even back in the days. Like, you know, I remember Mark Wright, Sam and Billy Fares. You know,
and the
genuine storylines. For example, when they actually got that harrowing storyline when they got beat up outside of a club, and then Mark actually went round the next day to see how they were. And you know, I loved seeing, and I mean, a full disclosure here, you know, I'm very good friends with Jess Wright, but I loved seeing, you know, her journey. I loved seeing her journey when she was right at the beginning, when she was trying to make it in the music business, and you know, now she's gone on to have this beautiful baby boy Presley, who is just so adorable, and she's so happy. But you know, I think of you and Harry and the GC, you know, proper stars, proper names. I don't think you see that in Towie anymore. Bob, what is your, come on, I know,
do you know,
what's your hot take?
I genuinely, since the day I left the show, and as I say, I did a decade on that show, I've never watched it since. But obviously, I get messages, I see stuff online or whatever. And like you're saying about people maybe not being authentic and duplicating stuff, I definitely get tagged into things where people allegedly reusing old storylines and going through the motions of something that worked 10, 9, 8, 7 years ago. But I can't sit here and honestly comment because I've never watched it. And at the top of this conversation, he said my high and my low. My low was actually my last series I ever did. And out of 10 years, it was by far the hardest one for me. For so many reasons. Reality TV is a very intense situation. And for anyone that watched that last series, I think it's clear why it was so difficult. I won't go into details.
Was that
now.
Just kind of off the top of my head, was that when kind of Amy tried to kind of bring you and Harry back together to kind of reconcile? Was that that series?
No, it was Harry had come back and basically tried to rewrite it. And this was the weird, when you're on TOWIE, there's something on reality TV called a fourth wall. So when you're on TOWIE, you can't say you're filming a TV show and you can't acknowledge the camera. So but although even, you're being
though,
filmed...
Can I just say, even though everyone knows this and even the audience knows this,
to pretend there's no cameras there and that we're the only ones in the room. So that's the weird thing.
Even though the situation is totally set up and you've got literally lights and rigs all over the street and in restaurants, like when people say, oh, hi, and they bump into each other, as hell do they bump into each other.
We used to call them TOWIE bumpings. But for me, what become really difficult that season, like I say, and I've done 10 years and highs and lows and all stuff was going in my life throughout that decade, as we can imagine. But why it was so difficult is I relived something that I think 7 years before had been a huge storyline on the show and was something that had been in the press, people that watched the show back in the day, and it had a huge following back in the day. People knew what had happened in terms of my relationship. So someone had come back and had kind of rewrote history and said it didn't happen. So I was stood there off camera saying to people, but I was getting up. It was ITV Hub at the time, ITVX now. I was getting up the Hub and YouTube and Google going, but it's public knowledge. But I couldn't ever turn around and say, I just wanted to get my phone out at one point. Because do you know what I've related to, Josh? If I looked at you every day for 3 months and said, your name is John, and you go, well, no, it's not, it's Josh. But I went, no, it's John. Do you know, eventually, for a split second, when you start thinking, is my name John? Do you know, as mad as that sounds.
No.
But I would be looking at my phone and the couple of people that was left from the classic TOWIE days was very much aware of it. Even people that had been fans of the show that was now cast knew what had happened. But I kind of was really, it was the weirdest situation for me.
That's called gaslighting. It's classic gaslighting. Classic. When you're in this toxic environment and people are saying and you know it's not true. And you know full well, no, this happened this. I lived through it. But people are going, no, it didn't. No, that's gaslighting.
And it's the weirdest situation to be in. And to go to work every day and have that. And like I say, I was getting things up on my phone because I knew it happened. Everyone knew it happened, but I couldn't turn around. But the thing is, babe, what is the weirdest thing is I would never have brought it up. He was with someone at the time. I was with someone. It was 7 years ago. It never needed to be addressed. But I think someone had tried to get a storyline and had tried to milk it for...
But again, this is the problem because you're effectively pulling, you moved on from that situation. As you said, it was 7 years prior to this and you fully moved on. You know, it was a massive part of not just the show, but your own personal life. And it was a lot for you to move past and move on from. And then all of a sudden it's kind of, well, they're bringing all of this actual quite personal stuff, almost personal trauma up just for the sake of 5 minutes, 10 minutes of screen time and a bit of drama and a bit and some, and you know, a couple of headlines in the press. And, you know, also at the same time, I think, you know, the show had moved on by then. And when I say the show had moved on, it had gone so downhill. But I think that was also a sad attempt to kind of bring back that almost that nostalgic element, kind of taking that drama from 7 years ago and trying to put a current angle and make it current again to kind of bring back the fans. Because also as well, if that clip was put on YouTube and if that clip was circulated out into the press, you would get all the original fans who used to watch the show 7 years ago and go, my God, this drama's still happening. Oh, I'm going to tune back into TOWIE as well.
But that was the weird thing. As these episodes were going out, people was on social media linking old episodes and getting clips going, but we know this is... So it was a really weird... it was kind of like the Twilight Zone for me.
Did you feel gaslighted by the series? You don't have to say the show, but from that series...
That series, absolutely.
You felt gaslighted. Yeah.
And I think before we move on, we've got our lovely guest in the waiting room. I think for me, what hurt as well was when you've been cheated on, even when you're over that relationship, sometimes everyone handles being cheated on differently. That kind of stays with you a little bit, and you kind of have to...
I couldn't agree
more. It's the knock-on effect of what that does. So when someone tells you that didn't happen, but you've had to grieve and rebuild yourself because you've been done so bad, and you've had to carry that after, and then someone says that didn't happen... That's where
the thing is. I could just relate to this so much because it. When I was at university, I was cheated on, and you know, when I said, you know, I've got proof, they said, okay, arguably, if I kissed this person, at least I didn't sleep with them, and then they tried to almost again gaslight me into thinking it's not that bad, and it's a case of, so I get that feeling of when you're cheated on, because also it affects you in so many ways. It affects your confidence.
Oh, it knocks you hugely.
Like it affects your whole entire...
You.
Yes, and it affects your entire mindset. And I remember for a whole year afterwards, I just felt so almost inferior because of it. Yeah. So actually, I can only imagine, you know, the impact that, you know, having to relive that, not just in personal life, but also for that to be almost dragged up again against your wishes, having to live that in front of the camera. I can totally see afterwards why you would go, hands up, sorry guys, I've moved on from this now. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a huge kick in the veneers, to say the least. But
kick in the veneers.
We're going to move it on to happier times because the lovely Amy Christopher is in our waiting room. So we'll be back in two and we're going to have a lovely little chat, and we are going to be speaking all things Married at First Sight UK.
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
There was an interesting no-show, I thought, in Harry Styles. Apparently he didn't come because both Olivia Wilde, his ex-girlfriend, and Emrata was there too, and he was pictured kissing her recently in Japan.
Lucky cow.
Apparently he avoided because best not to be around two women you've recently been with, I guess, if you're Harry Styles.
See, if I'd have been there, I'd have said to both of them, piss off. Harry, let's go and have a gin and tonic.
So joining us now, we have Count Binface, an independent space warrior. I just wanted to quickly ask you one last question. Let's say you had won that election and you became prime minister. You know, what are some of the big things you'd like to change? What are some of the big things you believe in that our politics needs?
Well, why don't we talk about the old royal family? Because, you know, I don't wish to abolish them like some people do. No. I merely wish to solidify their ceremonial role so that they become the living, breathing version of Madame Tussauds that deep down the public wants. The dating
show. Again, I've been out on dates where people have gone, oh, like, what do you do? Why do they want pictures? And then I'll just go, oh, listen, I'll do little bits on TV, that's it. And then 2 hours later, when they've had a few drinks, they stop going and say, tell me what happened with this girl. What happened with this? What happened with that? And I think I thought you didn't know.
Well, this is why I think I struggle with my date life, because I just see myself as me. You know, I'm from Oxford, moved to London. That's it. I have a great group of friends. That's as simple as my life is. When I go to date someone, I don't see myself as, oh, I'm a girl that works on TV. I just see myself as me. But then I'm reminded by some of the things that they might do.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Areas live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Josh Rom.
It's so lovely having you this evening. It's so, so nice.
You know how much I love spending time with you, Bob.
Oh, we love it. It's a lovely little catch-up. And do you know what we love as well? The lovely Amy Christophers. And she's here. Wait. Oh, my God. I've just seen her dog on the Zoom. Amy.
Hi.
I'm in love with your dog.
I've got another one here as well.
I love it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So cute. Are they brothers?
Sisters.
Oh, bless. Yeah.
And they're little Pomeranians. Do they yap a lot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially this one.
Oh, bless
her. She literally needs an ASBO. She's gone shy now, but...
It's so funny, though. I have a tiny teacup Yorkshire Terrier, but she thinks she's a Doberman. Don't you think the smaller the dog, in their head, they are like your... Well, she's my protector. Do you know what I mean? She's smaller than my foot. But she literally is like... She goes mad.
She was the one of the litter as well.
Oh, bless her.
She's definitely got some anger issues, I think.
Well, how have you been? I want to speak all things Married at First Sight UK, and you're the girl to speak to. Start spilling tea.
What do you want to know?
Well, how's life been since appearing on the show?
Oh, well, it's had its ups and it's had its downs. Yeah, I don't know. It's just been a bit random, especially like I think we're going to start chatting about like dating and stuff, aren't we? So
yeah,
with the whole dating scene, after you've been on a show like that, I think like you'll probably relate to this as well, Bobby, because on telly, you know, you have to pull your heart out and obviously you love lives on the telly and things like that. And I think sometimes people can use that against you. And I've definitely experienced that since Maths. And I don't know, now it's just made me like even more weary, and I've moved back to Cornwall now. I've just bought a house and I'm in the middle of like doing it up and everything. And so one of the reasons of me going on Maths was that it was locked down. I was back in Cornwall and I thought, I'm never going to meet the love of my life here. And now I'm back in the same situation and I'm like, oh, it's even more dire than it was before.
So what part in terms of dating post show do you find difficult? Do guys bring it up on like a date, like if you go for a lemon and a herb, or you go out and about for a steak and chips, do they reference the show and do you find that uncomfortable?
So some people do reference it, others like to pretend that they've never even heard of it, but then they'll bring up things that I'm like, well, I've not told you that. So either you've googled me or you have watched the show. And I don't know. It's really off-putting. Like, I would rather people just be upfront and just be like, oh, yeah, I did see you on that. And sort of just ask what the experience was like rather than sort of just judging you. But I don't know. It's just all a bit crazy. Like, and I hate the fact that people can just Google you and sort of like make this picture of you. And instead of just getting to know you, because obviously there's quite a lot of things on Google of me, some from Married at First Sight, some about my sports stuff, others about my glamour. So, you know, it's like if you read everything that you see on the internet, like that's three different people that you're going to be going on a date with when I'm only one person. So why don't you just get to know me rather than try and make these assumptions about me? And obviously, you know, I'm a bit of an onion, so there are different layers to me, but yeah, they're not all bad.
How did you find watching the show back? Because obviously, like I say, when you film a reality TV show, you film hours and hours of content. And I think people think that we get shown clips of episodes before they actually air. So you can film for hours. That goes to an edit suite and that gets chopped up to like 44 minutes minus adverts. And that goes out every week or whatever the programme is at the time. But we've got no say over the edit. When you watched Married at First Sight back, how did you find your edit? Was you happy with it?
I mean, obviously, some people really complain about the edit. And look, I've said certain things, but I've never really, like, complained about the edit. Obviously, it just... If you did that, then it made the edit, then obviously you did that. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not saying that. But the only complaints that I've sort of got is that's, like, 1% of my personality. Obviously, I get frustrated and things like that. I'm human. Do you know what I mean? But... I mean, most of the time, I'm like laughing and joking and don't really take things too seriously. And I was like the class clown at school. So I do like to mess around quite a lot and just have a laugh. So how I got perceived, like watching it back, I was like, oh my God, like, I can't believe that they used that and that and that. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And loads of people that like know me really well were like, oh my God, I've literally never seen you lose your temper. And I was like, yeah, you haven't lived with me though. My best friend Gina was like, I've lived with her. She's a fucking nightmare. Oh, sorry, I can't swear.
Oh, no, you can swear me.
See? Oh my God. yeah, so my friend was like, oh no, like I've seen her lose her temper and stuff. But most people know that it does take a lot for me to get to that stage. So they were like, oh, it must have been like a real pressure cooker environment. But yeah, most people just know me as like being the joker and stuff. So they were like, oh, okay. But then when it comes to love, like that's like another heightened emotion, you know? And then that's when things get serious. And that's when, yeah, sometimes emotions that you don't want to come out, come out.
Because I do have
but
a...
Overall, I was quite all right with it, to be honest. I think like the producers said to me, they were like, look, it's all going to become clear. Like it's basically showing your frustrations. And do you know, when I meet people and they're like, oh my God, like we've all gone out with a Josh. Like we really understand where you're coming from, the frustrations, this, that, and the other. Like it's like trying to get blood out of a stone with the emotions and things. So I was like, oh, okay. So actually, although at the time I was like, I can't believe they used that. And I was a bit like, oh, that's not really me. That's like, that's not what I'm like a majority of the time. That was just like me in a situation.
Yeah.
I think overall the edit showed how me and Josh were and sort of like the journey that we went on. And at the end of the day, like most girls can relate to it. So I think I came off as like the most relatable. And like me and Josh had like the most relatable up and down relationship. So yeah, it is what it is. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If I could go back and maybe not react in the ways that I did, I think I've definitely grown from the experience. Now I respond rather than react. So that's growth. Thanks, Paul.
Because I was going to ask you, you know, dating on reality TV, especially we're seeing this on Love Island, you know, there's all sorts of kind of portrayals of what happened. You know, from your own personal perspective, how has reality TV changed you and how has it changed your confidence? And then kind of how has it made you almost look at you?
Oh, sometimes it's awful because it's literally holding up a mirror. And that's kind of like another reason why I wanted to do it, because you forget that like everybody's, sorry, it's just getting a bit hot. I'm just going to put her down. There you go. You forget that everybody else is going to watch this. I was like, oh, I'm going to get these like world experts on love and behavior, you know, this, that, and the other, giving me the advice and telling me where I've gone wrong in previous relationships. And so that's what I was like really interested in as well, like getting that sort of help. And it is just like holding up a massive mirror, and sometimes it ain't too pretty, but do you know what I mean? If we can't learn from like what we don't reveal, and no, what is it? You can't heal from what you don't reveal. So I think having that mirror held up to you and seeing the places that you do need to do some healing on, because I went in thinking, oh, I'm totally healed, I'm ready for love and all of this. And then it's like, oh, okay, no, still a work in progress. And I'll say now openly, like I'm still a work in progress. I don't think the work's ever done. And the more people you date and you realise what you do want, what you don't want, and then, yeah, everybody's a lesson, aren't they, really?
Absolutely. And I think we're always work in progresses. I don't think there's ever a day where anyone's not. So I think you're so right. We're always learning, always growing, always evolving. I just wanted to touch upon, like when you was talking about guys that might Google you before a date and like your glamour modelling, when you look back, do you regret that or do you find that empowering that you did that?
Oh, it's a tough one. Like, I don't really regret it. And at the time I did find it empowering, but I think that was such a different time. And I think now things have like completely changed. I know we've got like OnlyFans and things like that. I still get daily messages when am I joining OnlyFans. Like, I don't have the time.
Would you do OnlyFans? Because that kind of is the modern day glamour modeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I don't think anybody would want to pay to see this now, to be honest. I'd rather just keep it covered up. My glamour model days are far behind me. It's all about the football and the sports now. But yeah, back then it was just like a totally different time. And, you know, whereas now people want to be OnlyFans models and, you know, influencers and things like that. Back then, like, Page Three was the pinnacle. That is what everybody wanted to do. And, you know, to grace the covers and the pages of, like, Nutzu, Loaded, FHM, all of those, like, that's when you'd made it. So I'm really proud of everything that I achieved in my glamour model career. And, yeah, I think going forward, like, it should be, like, my USP. Working in sport, you know, guys like a bit of glamour. They also like a bit of football. So... yeah.
You're ticking all the boxes, darling.
Say that again.
You're ticking all the boxes.
Apparently, I'm not ticking everybody's boxes, but hey ho, never mind. They're not
informal. So, you've posted publicly about facing sexual harassment at sports events. Do you think it's harder to be a woman in your industry than it would be to be a man? I mean, obviously, I know that's probably a hard question to answer because you don't know any different, but.
It is quite current with the whole kind of ring girl debate, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't see any men getting their ass slapped while they're presenting at the races. So clearly there is a little bit of a problem there. But I mean, a majority of the people behave themselves and whatever. It's like with a lot of these sporting events, there's alcohol involved and, you know, they've got their mates around them and they're getting a bit confident. And yeah, sometimes they can step out of line. But I didn't even get an apology from that guy. So
what did he do? Just to clarify, he slapped your ass.
Yeah.
Did you turn around and... Oh, so you was actually...
Behind me and went, yee-haw! And then he put that online. So I was like, all right, is the Daily Mail online all right? to get him banned from the races. Because I thought, that's not on. And it was more about, like, you know, obviously I've been in the industry a long time. You know, I've dealt with a lot of, like, sexism, things like that. And, like, I'm quite tough. And, like, I always say my skin's like concrete now because I've been in the industry so long, you know, you have to build up a resilience to it. You'll know that yourself.
Amen, but yeah.
It was more about if I don't speak up about this and I let this guy get away with it, what is that showing to the younger audience that I've got following me? So I had to make an example out of him and I was just like, it's not on. And the fact he didn't apologise and he was just like, he was just a bit of an idiot, to be honest. So I just thought, right, I'm going to have you, mate.
And the thing is,
got banned from racing.
Regardless, I just think no one in any job should have to pay with that. If he was unpacking strawberries at Sainsbury's, do you know what I mean? You can't just go around slapping someone's arse. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're getting your strawberries out, like, yeah, that's just not okay. And like you say, however you felt about him, whether you was personally offended or not,
I was just shocked. And it's actually, a shock, it really stung. And I had to carry on presenting, and I was like, oh my God, it's lucky that the camera was on me, because if it wasn't...
Because you're in work mode, so you can just...
The mask come out again.
Yeah. Absolutely. Did you speak to him after you finished that link and after that it was no longer live and you'd stopped filming? Did you say what you're playing at?
Yeah, I went up to him and I was like, do you really think that's appropriate in this day and age? I was like, I hope you don't have daughters. I was just like, that's disgusting. Like, what makes you think that you can come up and touch me?
It's almost that, it's that entitlement, isn't it? And it's also, and it's a case of, oh, boys will be boys, lads will be lads, you know, boozy event. Oh, it's only a bit of fun, sweetheart. Like, why are you taking it seriously? And it's like, well, no, you're invading my personal space.
Yeah. And not only that, but it was like, oh, we all know who you are, sort of thing. And like, I don't know if you ever get this, Bobby, but like, this is way from like the sexism thing, but it's kind of like a little crossover that people just think that they like, that they have like ownership or like can own you because they've seen you on the telly.
Yeah.
And I remember being out in Beverly. That's where this incident happened, but being out in Beverly Town as well with Marilise from the show and a couple of the other guys, and people were just coming up and like, we were just having like a private conversation and people just got their phone and just put it in the middle of us, like, while we're talking. And they're like, oh yeah, what? And we're like, what? You like, it's like, oh, we've put ourselves on TV, so therefore we don't have any right to any privacy at any point ever again in our lives. It's just, it's insane. And people just think that they have that right to you because you've been on TV and in the public space that they own you. And it's just, I don't know, people just need to have a bit of a reality check about reality TV.
So we're running out of time, babe. I want to ask one last question because I always love to ask this because I'm so intrigued and I'm sure you get this a lot. But when you've come off of a TV show, I like to talk about DMs. What are the DMs saying? Because, what, again, like you say, what people think in public they can say, sometimes it's even worse when they're sliding into them DMs. Have you had any blue tick dick come forward? Like dick pics? No?
No, although that could change now because any dick can get a blue tick now, can't they?
Well, can't you buy a blue tick now? It's kind of, exactly. I question what's the point of a blue tick if you can buy it.
No, ridiculous. No, I've not.
So your DMs are pretty sanitary.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Sadly. But.
Oh.
Quite boring.
Oh, no, bless you.
It's just full of a lot of women just saying, like, oh, I really relate to you and whatever, which is obviously lovely to hear. And then a lot of mums just asking about, like, they want to get their daughters into football and things like that. And
well, that's better than any dick, babe. That's what I say. Thank you so much for such a lovely chat, babe. It was so nice speaking to you. And so lovely seeing your little gorgeous dogs home.
They're sleeping now.
Oh, bless them. And I'll let you get back to them. Take care. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, guys.
Bye,
Amy.
Oh, that was a lovely Amy Christopher's. Nice chat, babe.
She's a sweetheart. But it's also a case of, like, you know, we chat to someone like that and you get this impression of her from reality TV, and it's case in point. It's, people are so different. You know, a show can portray you in a certain way, but that's not necessarily who you are as a person. And then it's also, again, the emphasis of what the show can actually do to you as a person, how it can affect your own personal confidence, and how it affects your own personal
life. It's a funny old world. It's a funny old... Oh, do you know, babe, what a lovely show we've got. Then we're running out of time.
I know, I'm gutted. It's flown by.
I want to say thank you so much for being my amazing guest co-host this evening. It's always
a pleasure. My pleasure, Bob.
And until next week, it's goodbye from me.